Seeking for the help of the Lord, I direct your prayerful attention to Acts chapter 18 and reading for our text, verse 27. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. Acts 18, verse 27, it's particularly the latter part upon my spirit. When he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. The subject is helping them which have believed. Now, our text is speaking of Apollos and how that he helped those in Achaia, Corinth being the chief of that city, those that by the grace of God had believed. And what a lesson that this is to us, that those that believe, they still need instructing, they need to be established in the truth. And when we think of the testimony of the Word of God, we have our Lord in John 8, having those that believed on him there. And the Lord said to them, if ye continue in my word, then shall ye be my disciples indeed. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And he implies that, yes, they believed the Lord Jesus Christ, he was the Messiah, but many other doctrines and truths they did not yet believe or perceive or understand, they had to be taught. We have the same with those under one sermon of Peter in Acts 2, were brought from being those that crucified the Lord Jesus Christ to being pricked in their hearts, to believing that they had indeed crucified the Saviour, they'd crucified the Son of God. And they received that word, they fell under it, they believed, they were baptized. But again, what instruction did they have in all of the truths of God, the deep truths of God? Very, very little. We have the same with the Philippian jailer. He was brought by the means of Paul and Silas singing and giving praise to God in the prison, and then the earthquake, and then Paul preaching to him and his house, brought to believe. And again, they were brought to believe and to be baptized when there would have been many truths, many things that they were ignorant of. We think of the sermon that Philip preached to the eunuch. One sermon going from a passage that the eunuch didn't understand in Isaiah 53. Whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? And speaking of the prophecy, he was led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Speaking of the sufferings of the Lord, of the judgment and of his sufferings. And Philip, he began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And the eunuch wanted to be baptized. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. He said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And he was baptized on that profession. And yet with him, there would have been many things that he would not have known. He would not have been able to clearly articulate why he believed, or even be able to contend with the Jews who were going opposite and saying that Jesus of Nazareth was not the Christ. They were not, no doubt, able to resist those that were opposing them. There was need of teaching, establishment and help. And here we have the same with those here in Corinth. And so it is in this way I felt drawn to this word here with Apollos. He helped them much which had believed through grace. Those are sacred characters that are used as a help. You know, we might say, well, was he made a blessing to them? But in some ways, it's lovely when it's put in this way. Does the word preached help us? Does the instruction and example and teaching of brethren help us? And the implication here as well, those that believed, even though they believed by God's grace, they truly were partakers of grace, they needed helping. They needed instructing. You don't have to have a theological degree to be baptized. You don't have to come up to a certain standard before you can be baptized. The teaching of this passage and right through the scripture, those that received the word gladly were baptized, those that believed, those that by the grace of God had their ears open to receive the word, they were baptized. Baptism is the beginning, it's not the end. It's not saying, well, when I can answer all the questions and understand all the scriptures, then I'll be baptized. No. Those that first had the light and joy and gladness and realized the truth and realized the Lord Jesus Christ was the true Messiah and had that first love and first joy and first light, that's when they were baptized. And then they were taught. Well, I want to look with the Lord's help this evening. 3 points. Firstly, God preparing a helper for believers. Apollos, in this passage, we have told right from the very start of the passage to the end here where our text is, how Apollos was prepared to help those which had believed through grace. And then secondly, God preparing a people to be helped. There are many that it would be useless to try and help them. They don't want help. But here was evidently a people that had been prepared to be helped. And then lastly, the help that believers need, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. And we can add the last verse, therefore he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. But firstly, let us look at God preparing a helper for believers. And I hope in looking through this that we will see the wonderful providence of God, the steps that God takes to prepare a helper. And I hope those of us in the ministry, we can see the steps God has used for us. Many of our hearers maybe would be ignorant of what our experience is or what steps or places we've been in providence that have brought us to be able to stand before a people and to preach the word. How many of these Jews here, how many of them of Corinth would have really appreciated all that Apollos had gone through, that he could have been then a help to them? He wasn't, as it were, born a helper. He needed to be made a helper. And he was by God. And I want to trace with you, there is seven steps throughout this chapter that God prepared this helper for believers, Apollos. And it doesn't begin with Apollos. The beginning of the preparing of Apollos, it begins with Priscilla and Aquila. We read of them in verse 2 that a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, latterly come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. And we are told why they came there. It was because they had been expelled from Rome. Now you think of what these people have gone through. What if our government was to make a decree and say we want all Christians to get out of Kent or to get out of England? No, they had to leave Rome. They left their country. They left Italy. They went into Greece, into Athens. Achaia. They had been through great trials that moved them in providence to Corinth. And that really, not only were they forced to leave Rome, but there was the providence. Why did they choose Corinth? They could have gone anywhere, but they went there. And we read that Paul was there, and Paul stayed there for a year and 6 months, 18 months, and he was preaching. And specifically what Paul was preaching in verse 5, testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. So we have here Priscilla and Aquila, and they are being taught and they are being instructed in this truth: Jesus was the Christ. Then we read in verse 18 that Paul, he tarried there a good while, but then he left and he sailed thence. Now the word says into Syria. Now he did go into Syria, but in one sense, in this verse, in the narrative, he is sailing unto Syria via Ephesus. Ephesus is Asia, and Syria, you're going at the end of his journey down to, he went to Caesarea, and he said, then go down to Antioch. In my way of thinking, often down is south and up is north. Well, actually, in Paul's journeys, he went down to Caesarea, and then he went up to Antioch. But here in the account here with him is Priscilla and Aquila, and he comes to Ephesus, and Paul leaves them there. He himself is going on in his journey, but he leaves Priscilla and Aquila there. Now, that is very important, that they were left there at Ephesus, because it is there at Ephesus that Apollos comes. In verse 24, we have, and a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. So So here in God's providence, we first have Priscilla and Aquila expelled from their country. They choose to go to Corinth. At Corinth, they're really grounded in the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then they go to Ephesus, and there Apollos comes to Ephesus, and those two are brought together. And we never think that meetings come by chance. They are appointed. And here it certainly was appointed. Now we're told quite a bit about Apollos, where he was born. We're told that he is an eloquent man. He was able to speak very clearly. He was given very fluency in being able to speak. And mighty in the scriptures. He knew the word of God. He knew the scriptures. That's the Old Testament scriptures very well. No, it's a good thing to be well grounded in the scriptures. There's a lesson to us here, though, as well. We may be well grounded or well know the scriptures very well, but we do need them interpreted. Those two on the way to Emmaus, they were so downcast. They couldn't bring together what had happened at Jerusalem with the Old Testament scriptures. And the Lord began at Moses, and all the scriptures, the things concerning himself, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? Well, here is Apollos, well grounded, mighty in the scriptures. He comes to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord. In the way of the Lord. Now you may view that in the Old Testament scriptures, in the way that God deals with his people, in the types and the antitypes, the way of salvation, and being fervent in spirit. One that was really believed what he believed and was very fervent and active and urgent in how that he preached and set forth that which he believed. He spake and taught diligently. There's so many words to describe this man, what he was, a fervent man, a diligent man, teaching diligently the things of the Lord. Then we read this, knowing only the baptism of John. Now John, of course, was the last of the prophets. John, he preached repentance. John, he pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. But John, our Lord said, the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John. Those that were after John never saw our Lord crucified and slain and risen. John never knew the day of Pentecost with the pouring out of the Spirit. And when we think of the disciples, even when our Lord was ascended up into heaven, they said, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom unto Israel? They did not know clearly the plan of salvation as revealed when the Holy Spirit fell, shone upon all the Old Testament scriptures, when it was then clearly opened up and the Lord blessed, especially the Apostle Paul. And we have that in his writings, in his letters, the doctrines and truths of salvation so clearly opened up. But Apollos did not know this at all. He could preach the need of repentance. He could preach the Lord Jesus Christ was the Christ, was the Messiah. But he couldn't go further. He only knew the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. This is Apollos. Apollos, not yet in a position to be able to be a help to those that have believed through grace. But God brought him to be with Priscilla and Aquila. And you know, that man and his wife, they didn't look upon Apollos and say, "You're preaching error. You don't know the truth." They didn't condemn him. They didn't discourage him. But what we read, they did. They took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. They had been prepared by being taught through Paul, and now they are teaching Apollos here at Ephesus. You might say a teacher being taught. You know, really, all of God's people. We read, "They shall all be taught of God." But God uses teachers. He uses Paul to teach Priscilla and Aquila. He uses Priscilla and Aquila to teach Apollos. And then we have Apollos, in verse 27, our text, disposed to go to pass into Achaia, which Corinth was the chief city. We don't read of his leadings. We don't read of why, but he was disposed to go. He wanted to go. So now he's going back where Paul had been with Priscilla and Aquila. Was it the case that Priscilla and Aquila had said, God had said to Paul, there was much people in that city. They'd been there 18 months. They would have been able to tell Apollos much of what had been there. But Apollos might have thought, well, if you've come to me like this and Paul's been there that long, they don't need a teacher, they don't need a helper. They've already been taught, already been instructed. No need for me to go back there. But he was disposed to go. And he went. And there was a letter that went with him. The brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. What if the disciples at Corinth had said, "We don't want this man teaching us"? Again, there's a need for a recommendation of the brethren. And sadly, there's a solemn thing. Sometimes it happens. The ministry is sent out, and there's other brethren that actually do the opposite. By phone calls or by letters, they say, "Well, don't have that man. He's a bit legal, and he's a bit wrong, and he preaches things a bit wrong." What a solemn thing to be in that position. Well, here, it was the other way around. They exhorted the disciples to receive him who had just been taught the way of God more perfectly, who was a man that was fervent in spirit, a diligent teacher, and now he is furnished with knowing the way of God more perfectly. And so then he comes, and he comes to Corinth, he comes to Achaia, and we read then in our text, "Who, when he was come, helped them much." It doesn't just say help them, help them much. They did need helping. They were helped. They were able to speak of what a blessing, what a help he was to them. Help them much which had believed through grace. So here we have God preparing a helper for believers. How many steps in the chain? How many lessons that helper needed to have, and those that helped him or taught him had to be taught as well. Takes away pride, doesn't it? When everyone that God uses realizes that they have also had to have been taught. How it would have humbled Apollos when he come across believers at Corinth that hadn't quite got it, that didn't fully understand. You think, that was me. I didn't fully understand either. He could come right where they are. And he could explain those truths to them. And he did. And he much helped them. There's a lot to meditate and think upon in this chapter. And may we relate it to our ministers and to those that teach us, remembering that Priscilla and Aquila were husband and wife. They were ministers, and yet they were a vital link in this chain. Individual Christians, a great help to the Church of God when they can have the same spirit as Priscilla and Aquila, even though they'd passed through much tribulation and persecution. So then our first point, God preparing a helper for believers. And in one sense, it doubles the blessing, doesn't it? If we come and we are blessed under the preached word or hearing the word or being helped, and then we realise all what God has done to bring that word, to bring that preacher, just to bring the word to us, it doubles that blessing. It makes it even more special that the Lord has done all of this, and we're at the end of it receiving the benefit and the blessing of the teaching. So then in the second place, God preparing a people to be helped. We read in our text not just that Apollos helped some people, but helped them much which had believed through grace. We read of Paul's epistle to the Ephesians in chapter 2 that it is through grace, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The grace of God, the free, unmerited favour of God, that God takes a sinner dead in trespasses and sins and passes by them while they are in their blood and bids them live. The gift of life, the new birth, is God's sovereign work to give new ears and new eyes and a new heart, bring them to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and bring them to be teachable. Very evident that for these that had believed through grace to receive much help through Apollos, they were teachable. Mine ear hath he opened. How teachable are we? Priscilla and Aquila had been taught through Paul. They'd been teachable. Paulus, he hadn't said, well, I'm already mighty in the scriptures. I probably know the scriptures more than you, Priscilla and Aquila. No, he was teachable. And he comes to a people as well that are teachable. Any teacher in our primary schools, secondary schools, will know how hard it is to teach a class that doesn't want to be taught. And how hard it is to teach someone who is a know-it-all and thinks that they know it all and don't need teaching. But God made a people, prepared a people to be helped. And the way he prepared it was by calling them by grace or bringing them to believe through grace. They had not believed through the arguments of men. They had not believed as a schoolboy learned his task. But by the grace of God, God had opened their hearts like he did to Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened. It is Christ that makes a believer and gives him his crown. It is God's work. This is the work of God. Our Lord said that ye believe in him whom God hath sent. What a picture we have of really what the work of grace is in this text. We mentioned at the outset that one does not need a theological degree to prove that they are called by grace. You can see here, those that were called, they believed, but they needed instructing and teaching. The vital thing is that there is life. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And in these believers here, the way he was continuing to perform it was working these wonderful providences in bringing a person that was so suited to them, Apollos, to be able to preach and speak to them. God knows how to suit a pastor to a people, a preacher to a people, to enter into their path and to be able to be a help to them. But we have the picture here that really separates off knowledge or understanding from the grace itself, from life itself. But it makes a person prepared to be helped and to be taught. What a mark of grace were those that were around the Lord when he was being crucified, crying, crucify him, away with him. Were they teachable then? No. But on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit fell, and under Peter's preaching, they were teachable. They fell under the word, they heard the word, they gladly received the word. They were baptized. Who made the difference? God made the difference. Tarry at Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. The Lord calling by grace through the ministry, through the word. But that be, as it were, separate from the teaching and instructing. The word came unto you not in word only, this is what was said of the Thessalonians, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Every child of God needs that work that God begins and that grace that he gives, the free and sovereign gift of eternal life. Our Lord says, I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hands. These that Apollos was sent to had eternal life, but they needed helping. But God prepared them to be a people that were willing to be helped. And the other way of preparing here was in receiving the letter from the brethren. They were ready to receive the apostles. You think of how the word first came to the Gentiles. The Spirit fell upon them. Cornelius' household. Cornelius had to be made willing to have Peter come and speak to them. Peter had to be made willing to go to the Gentiles and speak to them. And God saw to it that both were prepared to be brought together, preacher and hearer, and then the Spirit fell and blessed them. God is a preparing God. And may we never pass over that blessing. If the Lord has made us teachable, made us tender, opened our ear, made us ready to hear the word of God, that itself is a mark of grace. I know in my case, and many of the Lord's dear people, we can look back to days of our unregeneracy, that we sat on the pew, we never heard anything said, anything preached, our mind was on other things. We didn't feel our own need, we didn't want to be taught, we didn't listen as one that wanted to learn. But that changed. In my case, immediately, that the Lord gave spiritual life, gave conviction of my ignorance and sin and need of a Saviour. May we clearly see where God has given grace and prepared then from that time on, the preaching will profit that soul, will help that soul. Is where we can tell really when we're in the right place, when we're hearing the right minister, when we can truly say that the word profits us. We read one solemn word, the word did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Those here that had believed through grace, they had faith. Because we read there in Ephesians, by grace ye are saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Faith is the gift of God. And so the word then profited them. Where do we come? Are we prepared to receive the word? Are we teachable? Do we drink in the truths of God? Do we feel our ignorance, our lack, our want, our need of instruction and teaching? These are the marks of those here that by grace were ready then to receive the word through Apollos. Well, thirdly then, what was it, the help that believers need? We read the verse that follows. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. And you might say, well, wasn't that what they believed? But isn't it a help when we hear, perhaps from the pulpit, hear a sermon and say, well, he never told me anything new, but he did confirm me. You know, the apostle says to Timothy, I will that thou affirm constantly that they which hath professed faith maintain good works. It wasn't just be said once, but again and again. We have the word that is in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. You say, John, why did you bother writing to those that believe on the name of the Son of God, that with this aim in view, that they might believe on the name of the Son of God? They already do. What a lesson it is to us that even those that have the true grace of God in their hearts will have, shall we say, niggling doubts, uncertainties, or even if they believe in their hearts, if someone came to them and said, why do you believe that? You show me from the scriptures. Or perhaps, maybe you might come across the Jehovah's Witnesses, and they say, well, the Lord Jesus Christ is not the eternal Son of God. He's a created angel. He's not really God. And if we're not well grounded in the scriptures, if we do not know those very clear declarations that he is God, in this very chapter in John, we have in verse 20, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. But we need to have that instruction from the word so that we be not tossed to and fro on every wind of doctrine, that we be established in the present truth. Part of the ministry is that, to establish a people in the truth so they don't only believe, but they know why they believe. Not just in one point, but all of the points and aspects of the faith. The exhortations so often in the word we think of with in Jude, how Jude says in verse 3, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Why? For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Saviour and our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the work that was being done here with Apollos was to well ground and strengthen these believers in this very truth, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. A great blessing then to be confirmed and strengthened in the faith, not to undo what God has already shown us, but to build upon it, to strengthen our faith, to give us that to feed upon, and to know more and more the precious truths of the gospel, that it is by God's grace we are saved, that it is through Christ's sacrificial death at Calvary, that sin is put away. That's where he put away the sin of his people. That's where he finished the work. That's where he bore the wrath of God. That's where he satisfied the justice of God, where the law was fulfilled. That's where the sacrifice was accepted, the tomb empty after 3 days, raised from the dead, and God giving assurance unto all men. The truth of God sent us in the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. There is only one perfect, spotless man, the righteous one. And he it is that laid down his life to take it again. And it's by faith in him and what he has done on our behalf, suffering on our behalf, that we have life. That we believe in Christ's finished work. All those that do not fully believe it will say, well, we've got to add our bit. We must do our good works to add somehow to what Christ has done. Your salvation and mine depends nothing on what we add to the Lord Jesus Christ's work. His work was a finished work. The atonement which he wrought out was perfect. He paid everything that was needed. But where that true belief and grace of God is, it will result in fruits. It will result in works of a believer that desires to walk and do all in the fear of God and to the honour and glory of God. To love God and to hate evil. But he doesn't trust in his hatred of evil or his love of God as his hope of heaven. He trusts in what Christ has done. And out of love, he walks in a path of obedience. In Christ's obedience clothes, as the hymn writer, and wash me in his blood, so shall I lift my head with joy among the sons of God. The Apostle Paul was very clear in strengthening the disciples, and no doubt the Apollos is the same in this way, that it is by grace you are saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. The letters to the Galatians, they had those teaching that except they were circumcised and kept the whole law, then they couldn't be saved. And the apostle had to clearly refute that. Many things there were that were rising up to put these new believers in bondage. And it was only the truth of God, clearly set forth by such as Apollos and Paul and Priscilla and Aquila, that released these new believers from these false ways, these things that would bring them into bondage and give them liberty and joy in their belief in the Lord. Have we been helped? Helped much through the word preached, through those that God has raised up. Come in perhaps the house of God perplexed and tried and troubled. And the Lord has answered it in the text that has been given out. And has sent help from the sanctuary and strengthened us out of Zion. Or may we be encouraged through this word. May we be in the text, either as like Apollos, or we be like those who have believed through grace, that though we may feel so ignorant and poor in need of teaching, be encouraged that we are teachable and desire to be taught, and the Lord has provided those that help us. And he teaches us through them. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.